Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Ahoy, ahoy. Welcome in on a absolutely gorgeous Wednesday. Again, I thought it was supposed to be kind of cool and chilly this week. It's like 65 and sunny. Couldn't
delightful.
Be a better day.
Delightful.
Here in the beautiful Rose City. One more Asahi-free show, Rop back tomorrow from the Masters, so a solo edition. Sook Buckley over there on the glass.
Asahi.
Yeah, I'm excited for him, too. Plus, supposedly this trip went as well as humanly possible.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about some elbow rubbing.
Yeah, well, anytime you go, like, on a big trip, like you go to the Masters or, you know, I'm like Kentucky Derby, Indy 500, whatever, right? You go to an event. Look, that's going to be good regardless, right?
Like, sure.
You don't have a bad time.
Especially when you know what to expect, and he did, because he's been before.
Yeah.
He knew what to expect.
Yeah, I refuse to believe that anyone's ever gone to the Masters and had, like, a horrific time.
Sure.
Like, I mean, it may not be, you may not get the access that you want, or maybe you get a bad seat, or maybe the pimento goes south on you. You know, it's like stuff happens. But you're not going to have a bad time. But you're also not necessarily going to have, like, the story to write home about.
Sure.
So when you go to something that you're so geeked about, especially a guy like Rob, who is a golf guy through and through, like, I don't know what else he does. Like, if you asked me, like, what my hobbies are, I got like 8 things that I can rattle off.
Yeah.
If I ask Rop, is drinking a hobby? Because outside,
yeah, like some wine.
But like that's
enjoying
more,
wine.
But that's still sitting at home watching golf.
Yeah.
Like he plays golf. He watches golf. He goes to golf tournaments. Like
he putts in his backyard.
Yeah. He putting on the Ritz. He's got a, like I don't have that sort of commitment to anything in my life. I dabble. Like I'm Greg Maddux. I paint corners. I'm off speed. Rob, he's bringing straight heat. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get gas, and he's going to throw it hard, and here it is. So the fact that he went to that and it exceeded expectations,
yeah.
I'm excited.
I am too. I think the stories are going to be excellent.
Yes. That's fantastic. I'm very excited for him because apparently he got great access. He had good seats. and then he backed his way into some sort of exclusive club somehow, and then Peyton Manning was there, and Peyton Manning was being the greeter. So, like, and when you have those things, it takes already a cool moment, and it just... it becomes an all-timer. It becomes epic, and I'm excited to revel in the tales of greatness from one Isaac Robb.
And I'm not even sure that we could confirm this from the text line, but someone said yesterday the area that he might have gone to or the place that he might have had access to could go for as much as $10,000 per ticket.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
So he obviously didn't pay for that.
No. I think it's the kind of place that can let people in, and but people do pay to get in because of the maybe exclusivity.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll hear more. I don't know anything of this place. One texter seemed to know.
Yeah, I had never heard anything about it. He said, "You won't believe it." I believe that was the direct quote was when I asked him how it went, and he said, "Unbelievable, can't describe it." He said, "I'll tell you about it," but that was his hint. Is that when you walk into a club and Peyton Manning is the greeter, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, I was trying to think, I don't know if I have anything quite like that. Like, I did get one time we were playing the old Caddies for Cure tournament that we got to play in. I got paired with Ken Griffey Jr. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're going to play in a tournament, and that's always a fun tournament, and you got to rub shoulders with, you know, like Jerome Bettis. Grant mm-hmm. Fuhr was a really cool one. I'm a hockey guy. Getting paired with Griffey and spending the day with Griffey, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you kind of heard that Griffey was kind of bristly.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there was a little, like, trepidation, like, what if he's kind of a D?
Yeah, 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 for sure.
And he couldn't have been any cooler.
Yeah, that's
like,
great.
The guy couldn't be any nicer. He was the most affable person in all the years of doing those sorts of things. I've never had a better experience. That was one of those where you walked away. So it's like, hey, how was it? I can't even begin to describe it.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I had one of those. It was my freshman year of high school. My dad got invited to the Super Bowl because it was like a corporate deal. His friend's company was running a commercial for the first time.
Interesting. So your father, known pirate, possible criminal, just gets invited to the Super Bowl?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Must be nice.
It was. But I had no idea what to expect. And we flew out to Atlanta Friday night after like my basketball game. Mm-hmm. And the next day... like they were just treating all these corporate guests, like rolling out the red carpet for them, like we were somebody, and we weren't at all. So we got like courtside seats to the Georgia Tech North Carolina game the next day on the Saturday before the Super Bowl. But then we had like brunch with Howie Long, and he was like the guest host for the Super Bowl experience the entire time we were there. Ended up being the Rams Titans Super Bowl that ended on the 1 yard line, and it was like, but we were part of a group where they just kind of kept like funneling in like Super Bowl celebrities to like shake some hands and kiss some babies and be like, hey, we're glad you're here. And so it was like Howie Long and Franco Harris and Tony Dungy a year removed from his Super Bowl. And
like, that's pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
Right. You had no, like, you knew it was going to be a fun time.
I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a corporate event. We're going to get to go to, I'm going to get to go to the game with my dad. And you end up bumping into all these people and you're like, whoa.
And then other times you end up at a function where I will not like out this person, but we ended up at the same thing, a charity event, and an NFL legend, like a legend, an old school legend, was at the table, and he was just spouting off like anti-Semitic, racist,
wonderful.
Just like think of like the most weird like Aaron Rodgers things you can think of. Like, if you don't know, have you heard the new Aaron Rodgers one?
I mean, people are saying that in not in so many words, he said the government engineered the AIDS.
It's not
HIV.
In so many words. He says it. He said that
he said it was part of their game plan, but either way,
Aaron
we can get into that.
Aaron is on film basically laying out the fact that HIV AIDS was created by the government and Anthony Fauci, that Dr. Fauci, that AIDS was a government plot. I'm like, wow. And then he gets upset that anyone could possibly doubt it.
And then he starts getting into like how Fauci was in the pockets with the pharma companies that you can't trust anyways. And it's like, some of those things could be true, but I don't consider Aaron Rodgers the authority on any of it.
I just wasn't prepared for
him to
the AIDS thing. Like, I had become I'd become somewhat numb to the Fauci COVID stuff. Like,
sure,
whatever,
we've heard
man.
That a lot.
That's fine. I was not prepared for Macho Man off the top, Aaron Rodgers going with Dr. Fauci again, but going back like 40 years to the AIDS epidemic.
Yeah, that was, that was a little bit surprising.
Yeah, so imagine like I'm sitting down at this, NFL event, and this dude is sitting at the table, and I got invited over by another Hall of Famer that I had been kind of hanging out with. Super nice guy, an old lineman. Couldn't have been any nicer. And he's like, oh, come on over. I'll introduce you. And so introduce me, sit down at the table, and it's just like the moment I sit down, it's just on.
Mm-hmm.
Just Asians, boom, gays,
he's
boom,
just lining
Jews,
them up and knocking them down.
I was like, whoa.
Jeez.
And then like you're sitting there, you don't know what to do. Like,
can I at least ask old player or more recent player?
No, old player.
Okay.
Old player.
I mean, if it were more recent, I'd be even more alarmed. But
no, dude, it was just like machine gun fire.
Okay.
It was like you're sitting down with Archie Bunker, just one after another. And I was like, I don't know what to do.
And then you're in that awkward spot where you said absolute legend, so you don't want to be the person to call this person out, but at the same time, you can't just roll with it.
Well, and I was kind of waiting because, again, like...
Someone say something.
Well, you're at a table. You're at literally a table of NFL Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah.
There's a table of them. So you're waiting for one of them to say something. Like, who am I? Like, I'm nobody. I'm just there. I'm an invited guest. I stand up and like I introduce the I was like introducing the golfers. Like that was like my only job there.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting and I'm like, well, no one else is saying anything. I'm like, I'm just gonna quietly like you just push up like the Irish exit.
You do
like,
the Homer Simpson just fade into the bushes.
Yeah. It was like I'm just gonna go.
I think this. I left my I'm gonna talk to the. And then you just kind of fade away.
And my wife was there at the time, who was Korean, and he's
she's
got
like, I
got
to be next, right?
We had a lot of interesting things to say about the Asian, but he was a big fan of my wife, and we were both just looking at each other like, yeah, we should probably just go. You're not running for president of Asia.
Yeah.
I think the least offensive thing he said was he called her Oriental. I think that was the best thing that got said.
And to him, that was like the normal way of categorizing her.
We were just like, jeez. We should just, yeah, it's one of those. I'm glad that Rob had a wonderful experience at the Masters. He'll be back tomorrow to regale us. We got a good show for you today. Sean Hyken will join us 4:00. Rose Garden Report. We'll kind of do a little wrap up here. We had Blazer Exit Day the other day. So we'll kind of get just a general feeling on what you make of the season, what comes next for the Blazers. Because I do think it's kind of a weird limbo spot for them.
I'm going to go to that lake.
Well, all you heard at the exit interview is how next year it's going to be different. And this year is just so disappointing and they're going to be competitive. But
and
at the same
that's
time,
I don't really understand. Because was it disappointing? Didn't you not want to? I mean, I thought you kind of wanted to be here.
I think mission accomplished, yeah. Right? So I don't know. I don't know where we're at in the rebuild. I don't know where you go. I don't know what the realistic expectations are. We know Chauncey's coming back. So we'll just talk to Sean and get kind of a Trent Dilfer, as he likes to say, a 30,000-foot view. And then 5:15, today was supposed to do, we were going to do a little draft show with me and Nemec. But Nemec had some family circumstances that he's dealing with. So Nemec had to punt. So at some point, hopefully before the draft next week, we will kind of, we'll get Nemec
in. Get into
in
the nitty gritty.
Yeah, he may actually be part of our draft show this year.
Nice.
Because no one gets in deep to the NFL draft locally like Nemec. The dude's a total psycho.
Geeks out to the fullest extent, and I mean that as a compliment.
Oh, it's unbelievable how deep he goes. I still get random texts about like wagers that he makes.
Yeah.
He's like, dude.
And some that he made like 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah, man. He's like, hey, I had Brock Bowers going, here. And then he's like, look at the odds already. Like, he's a big Malik Nabers guy. If Malik Nabers ends up being the number one receiver taken, Nemec gets to retire.
Yeah, he's got a massive ticket on. And I can't remember how long the odds were, but now they've shortened big time that he could be the first. And I guess now they're saying that it could be either guy, depending on which team it is that wants him, because Nabers may be more of a yak guy.
Well, yeah, because that's the one thing that Marvin Harrison doesn't do well. And I'm going to ask our guest. So Mike Yammer, former Pac-12 network guy, now over at the NFL Network, and quite frankly, children's author, and one of my absolute favorite people in this business.
He's good people.
Love me some Mike Yammer. So he'll join us at 5:15. So we'll talk some NFL draft, because we didn't really get a chance to, obviously with Nemec being gone, but he will be back at some point next week, hopefully on our draft show. And then I'm pulling the cord. Like, after the NFL draft, I'm out of here. We're going to go sit on a beach.
Heck yeah.
Asahi goes down to the Masters. I just go to the Caribbean and drink rum. So
I think that works too.
It's kind of, we're seeing where the two hobbies go. But we come next. I will talk about, we got some NBA stuff to get into, some NFL news and note, one of the more awkward exchanges you'll ever see between a reporter and a WNBA player. I may have to take a brief moment and mourn the loss of yet another non-playoff season for my Detroit Red Wings. Did you see the way this went down?
Well, I saw the end of the... Well, no, because we were both here, but yeah. Both games were still going, right?
So the Red Wings missed the playoffs due to an empty net goal, but in one of the weirder and more painful ways that you can lose. So we'll talk about that.
I did not see this.
I'll just do a brief little thing. Then we'll get into some NBA stuff, because, again, we got play-in games. Well, we had the play-in games last night in the West. This year, tonight, we got them in the East. So plenty of stuff to get to today on a solo edition of Primetime right here on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll get to the AAA heated and cooling poll question here in just a second, but this is how it went down last night in the NHL. It was the last night in the regular season in the NHL, and the Red Wings, the Penguins, the Flyers, and the Capitals were all either tied or within a point of the final wild card spot. And Detroit had gacked away. At one point, they had like a 10-point lead on the wild card spot. They were like guaranteed. It was going to be the first time in a decade they make the postseason.
I didn't realize it was that kind of a collapse.
They absolutely S'd the bed down the stretch. And so they go into the final game of the year needing Washington to lose and Detroit to win.
Okay.
And they've just been pulling stuff out of their arse.
Mm-hmm. Well, the previous game, they were down two and they came back and scored the final three to do it.
Yeah, they were down two with like 5 minutes to play. And they're playing the worst team in their division. They're playing the Canadiens, who aren't very good. So they're going into that game, and the NHL set it up where all the games were happening roughly at the same time. You know, the NBA and the NHL are both trying to do this at the end, where they do like kind of the shotgun start, right? Everyone goes off at the same time.
Right.
So you can't really clock watch.
Right, and you can't wait to find out what you need to do.
Yeah. So Detroit's playing, and Detroit is down once again. They're trailing all game. They scored the final goal to send it into overtime with 3 seconds left.
Yep, 3.3. That we were still here for. I did not see how it turned out after that.
And then they end up winning in overtime.
Okay.
So had Washington lost, Detroit is in.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, the Flyers, needed Detroit to lose and needed to beat Washington in regulation. They couldn't go to overtime. So with 3 minutes to play in the Flyers game, someone informed the Flyers coach that there was like 20 seconds left in the Red Wings game and they were losing. So at that point, Philly's like, oh my God, if we win, we
got a chance.
We got a chance.
Yeah.
He pulls his goalie with 3+ minutes left because they have to win in regulation.
They can't afford to go to overtime.
So they pull the goalie. And Washington's a little like, oh my God, they're pulling the goalie this early.
Yeah.
All because he saw that Detroit was losing with like 20 seconds left.
And they ended up winning. Had they been winning all along, had they been up two goals, maybe something different happens.
So they pull the goalie.
Oh, man.
Washington gets an empty net goal. Even afterwards, someone asked Alexander Ovechkin, you know, the capital star, and he was like, yeah, he goes, it was kind of weird, but he's like, thanks. So of all the ways, and not that it, there's no guarantee that Philadelphia would have won that game.
Of course not, but the confluence of circumstances of what teams believed versus what was actually happening, yeah. and then what the domino effect of what happened after that is tough.
Because I guess Tortella, the coach of the Flyers, did look, you know, he looked, and they're like, hey, they're losing, they're gonna lose. 20 seconds left,
yeah,
you're down by a goal, like that's you're done. So he's like, well, I mean, hell with it. Like, let's go all in, right? Put it all in and see what happens. Pull the goalie and ended up losing. So that's 9 straight years now that the my beloved Detroit Red Wings will not be in the NHL postseason. So
not great.
No, not great. But we're, you know, now I'm throwing all my support towards one of the Canadian teams. Okay. We haven't had a Canadian team win the Stanley Cup since like 1989. When is the
Was it 89?
I think it was 89.
I thought it was 90s, but either way, it's
not in the 90s. It's either 88 or 89, and it was the Canadians, the Montreal Canadiens. You think about how long that's been. So, you know,
92, 93 Canadians.
Oh, is it 92? I thought it was 89.
Yeah, 92, 93, okay. Montreal Canadiens beat the LA Kings with Gretzky.
I stand corrected. So, yeah, that's we've been a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been now, this is the, I mean, it's 31 years.
Yeah. So go Canucks, go Oilers, go someone. Go someone in Canada. I mean,
I'd be cool seeing one of the young stars like a McDavid or a Matthews get one.
Yeah. Yeah, Toronto, I just want to see it back. I want to see it back up north. It's sure. Their sport, means more to them. You know, the favorite going into the Stanley Cup finals is the Carolina Hurricanes. Hey.
Eh.
Carolina Hurricanes. Get out of here. Get out of here with that. All right, AAA Heating and Cooling poll question. You can find it on Twitter. AAA Heating and Cooling, family company helping families. AAAIAQ.com. If last night was the end of the Golden State Warriors run, how will you view them? Meh, they were fine, totally overrated, or one of the best ever? Because last night, I do think we saw, for all intents and purposes, that was the end of Golden State.
Yeah.
You even saw at the end, well, how about Klay Thompson, by the way, going over? Like Klay
Thompson, that was really hard to watch.
Klay Thompson goes, and it really wasn't competitive. Sacramento.
No.
Sacramento, start to finish, was the better team. They vanquished them. Klay goes 0 for 10.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the game, he's just kind of standing there on the court.
Yeah. Everyone else leaves, and he kind of does one last 360 look around.
Gary Payton Jr. came by and mm-hmm. kind of did the kind of keep your head up sort of thing, tried to slap him on the fanny, and Klay just took a moment and kind of stood there on the court. And whether or not he, and by the way, ton of support from Golden State players and coaches saying that he needs to come back. I think that's probably the end. I don't know if he chases another ring somewhere else, if he chases another bag, but at this point he's a shell of his former self.
Yeah.
I don't know if he just decides enough's enough, tip my cap, and walk out into the sunset, but it felt like that was the end last night for mm-hmm. Golden State.
And I didn't necessarily see that coming a couple weeks ago, that it was going to be so sudden, but now it seems like there's too much writing on the wall. I think that a lot of, even if Klay were to come back, I think there's a decent chance they try to rid themselves of Draymond Green after all the stuff that they've been through with him and the suspension this year, and I think they're kind of fed up there. I don't know what kind of return you can get on him, because I don't believe he is a free agent, but I think that he doesn't have much time left on his contract. And then, but yeah, Klay is just, it's, I don't want to say it's a tragic case, because the guy won 4 championships and he was one of the best 3-point shooters to ever do it.
I mean, he's a great defender.
Won back-to-back 3-point contests. No. And yeah, he was one of the best, if not the best, two-way guard at one point.
Yeah, I mean,
two-way shooting guard.
When you look at Draymond and you look at Klay, like Steph is, his place is secure.
Sure.
Steph's one of the two or three greatest point guards of all time. Greatest shooter of all time. Like Steph's legacy is secured.
Yep.
But Klay and Draymond both have Hall of Fame cases.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at all NBA teams, you look at all stars, you look at an impact, 4 NBA championships, the cornerstone of that. I mean, both of those guys are Hall of Fame players.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they're going to get remembered that way. And I don't know how this, that's why I asked the question. I don't know how I remember this Golden State dynasty, because you win 4 titles.
Mm-hmm.
Probably should have won at least 5.
Yep.
Right? I mean, you go back and you look at it. You had the 3-1 collapse.
You had 3-1 collapses. That would be 5.
That would be 5. And then Kevin Durant blowing out. Well, Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson both.
Durant first, and then eventually Klay at the end of that series. Yeah.
And
both getting injured against the Raptors.
And that was the end of it.
That could have been 6 in theory.
You know, there's always that woulda, coulda, shoulda, sure. woulda. But, you know, they
were in position.
They made six. They won four. They won before Kevin Durant. They won after Kevin Durant.
Which I think is significant.
It's a little kind of San Antonio-esque. Like, because Shaq and Kobe, they won three. Or they won... Yeah, they won three. Kobe won five altogether. Shaq went and got a different one in Miami. But I think they just won three together. San Antonio got five. Obviously, Jordan's, the gold standard, was six. LeBron's is very spread out. LeBron had a dynasty nowhere. You know, you had the bad boy Pistons going for their back-to-back. The Celtics and the Lakers making their runs in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I don't know where Golden State fits in to that because... I mentioned with Steph, you know, Steph is the Michael or he's the, you know, the Tim Duncan. And I don't know how we remember Draymond and Clay. I don't know if we view them the same way that we do Scottie Pippen or the same way that we do James Worthy or Kevin McHale,
and
even
so
though
maybe
they're
not
Hall
them,
of Fame players.
But you brought up the Spurs, and I think that's interesting because maybe to some degree you look at Draymond as a guy that's like a Tony Parker or a Manu Ginobili,
yeah.
who is absolutely part of the heartbeat of those Spurs teams that were so good, but he wasn't Tim Duncan.
But that's why I kind of view him with San Antonio and that they're yeah. their greatness. They got one less than San Antonio, but it's an underappreciation for how good they were outside of just Tim Duncan and outside of just Steph Curry.
And both of those teams drafted all three of their stars. The Warriors drafted Steph, Draymond, yeah. and Clay, and the Spurs drafted Manu, Tony Parker, and Duncan.
I think the Durant thing, I think that diminishes in some people's eyes.
Oh, yeah. It sours what they did for a lot of people.
If they had won four and Durant never shows up, you know, kind of the crazy thing you think about, the 73 win team, they lost.
Yeah.
You know, that was the 3-1 collapse. Like, if they finish off that season and they win 73 games and beat the 72, the Jordan Bulls beat that 72, and by the way, they're mopping the floor with Cleveland in that series.
Yeah.
They're kicking their ass. They're up 3-1. Draymond gets suspended for, you know, the groin kicking.
Yeah, LeBron steps over and he hits him and they have words, and then LeBron complains to the league office.
And the chase down block and all that.
Yep,
and,
on Iguodala, yeah.
If that doesn't happen,
and then a Kyrie shot in game 7.
If they finish out that season, 73 wire to wire and win that title, I think we view him differently.
I think so.
And maybe Durant never shows up. But I think Durant, I think them losing.
I think
and then
if they
Durant,
win 73, Durant doesn't show up.
So when, losing that series and then Durant showing up and winning two, I don't know. I think it's unfair, but I do think that in some people's minds, that clouds.
Well,
that whole dynasty.
It's like a sliver of a margin for what would have happened for that 3-1 collapse not to have happened, but that probably changed everything. It changed the trajectory of that Warrior story into Durant and away from just their own thing.
Yeah. For the Vancouver 4 text line chiming in with the Bill Russell, I've said this before on the program many, many times. I'm taking nothing away from Bill Russell. Nothing from those Celtics teams. I don't view like 1980 in any sport, I view those things entirely separate.
Like unfair to compare.
Well, when the Celtics, I think, by the way, fact check this, much like the Montreal Canadiens, I'm at the point in my life, someone said, he's shocker, Souk misremembered something. I'm at the point in my life where I will not take a hard stand on what happened when, right? Like, I thought that the Canadiens, I thought it was 89-90, it turned out it was 92-93. So off a couple years, right? But I'm not laying my life on the tape measure thing.
Sure, sure.
I want to say when Bill Russell was winning those titles, I think there was 12 teams in the NBA.
I will check.
You know, double check that for me? Like there weren't, you certainly didn't have to go through five rounds. It's an entirely different thing. And by the way, there was no free agency either. So when you look at Boston's roster and there was no movement, like, look, they were the best of their time and that's true greatness. But that could never happen in modern times, ever. It's impossible. So to say that Bill Russell is the Celtics is the greatest dynasty of all time because they won 11 titles, they didn't. You couldn't win 11 today. It just can't happen.
It wasn't even 12 teams. It was 8 when he first started. See, his rookie year in 56, there were 8 teams.
Well, again, I can't view those things the same way. So to me, Jordan winning 6 is more impressive than Bill Russell winning 11. Because Jordan had to go through 29 teams. Bill Russell had to go through 7? So I'm assuming at that point everyone made the postseason. Like, you just, there's eight teams?
I think it might have been six with a couple buys.
Well, you know, look at that.
I'm trying to see at the end of his career how many teams there were.
And again, no.
It looks like by the end of his career there were 14 teams.
Okay, still. 14.
Not 30.
With no player movement. It's just like, those were your teams. There's no free agency. You just had those guys. It's like when we were talking about Cy Young the other day.
Yeah.
When Cy Young first started pitching, the majority of players threw the ball underhand.
Mm-hmm.
Cy Young didn't wear a glove for the first 4 years of his career.
We can't compare him to, you know, Justin Verlander or whatever, whoever the person is.
And by the way, he only played against the Watts. So
that's also true.
You know, I don't try to dismiss what Cy Young did, and I'm trying to dismiss what Bill Russell did. But can we have some nuance and not hold up 11 championships as the gold standard? It's the John Wooden thing. Oh, look at what UCLA did. Well, cool. What was the tournament back then?
Those were incredible accomplishments for their time.
Yes.
But to compare them to this time is apples to oranges, not apples to apples.
So I view Golden State and modern dynasties different. And I think I give Golden State a little more credit than other people. I just don't know. I'll be interested to see what the poll comes out is. Because I don't think that there is the reverence for Golden State the way there is for other dynasties. And it's interesting because I think the way Golden State played was really fun. I thought it was a great brand. It certainly wasn't boring like the San Antonio Spurs.
I mean, I think
it boils down to the we're smarter than you. And I think it's the Kevin Durant thing. I think Kevin Durant just rubs people the wrong way, and they're not going to be able to get over it.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, in some ways, they're revolutionary just because of how demanding they were about shooting the three-pointer, and they had the weapons to do it. But the same way that you can argue Steph revolutionized shooters and the way ball handlers take on the game, they, you know, kind of notoriously benched Andrew Bogut in their very first finals to go small ball and do the whole stretch the floor thing and win like that. Now, small ball wasn't their idea, but the way they emphasized having two or three three-point shooters on the floor that could do that and just stress you that way, that was something a lot of people tried to follow.
Yeah. All right, and we'll take a look at last night's actual on-court stuff, including, shocker, someone going down yet again and being done, well, probably for the rest of the playoffs because they're about to get bounced.
You would think.
It's a shame because the dude was absolutely a monster last night before Sniper got him. Here, though, Buck with Sports Center.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Before we move on to one of the creepiest reporter things that you'll see, I did want to mention Zion last night. If you didn't see the Lakers eliminate, or I guess the Lakers didn't eliminate the Pelicans. The Lakers moved on. They are the seven.
Yeah, they clinched their
seven. They clinched their spot. They will play Denver. And by the way, Darvin Ham and company were very dismissive about the stupid notion that they were trying to duck the Nuggets, which is ridiculous.
Because it was stupid.
So New Orleans gets Sacramento now tomorrow night, and that is a winner-go-home game for those two teams. Golden State has eliminated. The Kings drubbed them last night. But that Laker-Pelican game was fun. That was a great game, and Zion was unstoppable. And with 3 minutes left and that game tied, popped his hammy. And once that happened, they were just...
And he was visibly upset. It didn't look like it was, maybe I tweaked something.
No,
it looked like...
He popped it.
Yeah.
And they said that he does... MRI confirmed it, hamstring pull. Said it'll be evaluated in a couple weeks. Look, he's... One, I don't think New Orleans is beating Sacramento without Zion. And it's just a shame because for all the crap that he gets, when he's on the floor, dude, he's unbelievable. Like, there's not another player in the league quite like him. Like, he is the most efficient player. 17 of 27 last night, 40 points, mm-hmm. 11 rebounds, 5 assists. He's a one-man wrecking crew.
He started taking things seriously, and people said, I think that, like, he'd lost, like, 25 pounds mid-season.
And yet, here we are again. He's too big, too explosive, and not in good enough shape. Or his body just isn't meant to handle that kind of torque at any.
Yeah, that explosivity with his mass, maybe.
Yeah. So, I kind of feel bad for him, in that it just doesn't feel like it's ever going to work out. And some of that's on him, obviously. Like, we know he doesn't take the eating and the conditioning that seriously. We know it's a problem. I kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel bad for just the NBA because he really could be something. Like, imagine him, like, the final Olympic roster spot looks like that's going to Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. I want to see Zion in the Olympics. I want to see a pissed off, motivated Zion throwing down on the rest of the world.
I'd be up for that.
He's must-see TV, but he's buried down there in New Orleans, and it feels like we never know what he's doing. And we're just waiting for the hamstring to go, or we're waiting for a foot injury. When I saw that was a great game coming down to the wire last night with LA, and the moment he got hurt, it's not even a surprise anymore.
It just took the air out of it.
Yeah, and you're just like, well, no.
Yeah. And you don't want to say as expected, but
it's as expected. But
then once it happens, you're like, well, I guess we probably should have seen that coming.
Yeah. Now we can move on to some of the cringiest audio you will ever hear. And I wish we had the video, but you can't even see on the video. But this is Caitlin Clark's introductory press conference with the Indiana Fever. Because if you've been living under a rock, Caitlin Clark went number one overall to Indiana. And we can get into a whole thing here about expectations and what's waiting for her. But make no mistake about it, Caitlin Clark is the biggest thing going right now in basketball. She is. There's not another person in the NBA that has the juice that Caitlin Clark has. Certainly not on the men's side of things in college. And I don't think there's a player in the NBA that drives the needle the way Caitlin Clark drives it. Are you kidding me?
Not right now. I mean, she's doing like a full sport takeover where she is driving new viewers that have never cared before and making them care now, and that's something.
She is the biggest star in basketball, period, end of story. Because you look through the NBA, who's a bigger star right now than Caitlin Clark? Who could drive ratings and jersey sales and eyeballs the way Caitlin Clark? It's not Luka. It's not SGA. Sure as hell isn't Jokic. It's not Jason Tatum. You know, even LeBron, as great as LeBron is, we've seen LeBron for 20-plus years.
It's not new.
It's not new.
Yeah.
She is the biggest story in basketball,
mm-hmm.
and this is what she had to deal with today. So if you don't know, she does the little heart hands, the little Taylor Swift heart hands.
Yep.
And she does it to her family, and she does it to, like, little girls sitting in the front row of her game,
yeah.
of her games. This is her introductory press conference in Indiana, and you'll hear the awkwardness between Greg Doyle, who is a local reporter and kind of a known creep, awkward human being. This is the exchange, and realize that after he asks the first question, introduces himself, he holds up the heart hands to Caitlin Clark.
Hi. Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll get along just fine. So, question is.
What? Dude.
What are we doing? Why are we treating and the, world-class and like, athletes like
the
that.
The way he says it is creepy.
You know, what are we, why are we doing this? Like, what? What, you don't, would you do that? Would you do that to Giannis? Would you do that to the number one pick this year in the NBA draft?
No.
Would you hold up heart hands and be like, I'm glad you're here. Do it to
or
me.
Or whatever it is. If they do something where they like, you know, they flash some 3-point sign at their family in the stands or what, like, if you want to ask her about it, fine. But that was weird.
Well, you don't have to, you know what's, it's universal. She's been doing it for years.
Sure, and it's not like people can't see that that's a heart. We get it. But if you really have a question about it, great. Otherwise, no, dude.
The worst was when he's like, I like that you're here. And listen to his...
Hi. Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
What are you doing, bud? What are you doing? Like, and I guess he's got a reputation for just being weird. Someone said it's a rite of passage when you get to Indy is to have an awkward question asked to you by Greg Doyle. But, boy, that takes on a creepy dad, pedo sort of.
It doesn't sound good.
He's just, I'm glad you're here. Dave Portnoy.
It's like, I don't want to make that a drop. It's so gross.
Like, you know it's bad when Dave Portnoy is calling you out for being a creep. Like, when the president of Barstool Sports thinks that you're creepy and thinks that you've crossed uncomfortable sexual lines, you've done something.
Yeah.
You have, Greg. Can we just not do that? Is it okay to treat female athletes like athletes? Is that? Look, and I understand, like, I even said it, like, the WNBA draft, I think it helped out this year in the WNBA draft that a lot of the players were very attractive. If you don't think that Cameron Brink and Angel Reese wearing the outfits they wore on the red carpet didn't help some eyeballs, sure. But if you don't think that, like, Tom Brady being handsome made a difference in selling
if
himself.
If some reporter told Tom Brady, I like that you're here, right? They get thrown out.
Can we just not be creeps? Like, it's just... With the rise of women's sports, can we all just make a pledge to keep our creepiness, like, away from them? Like, be creepy when she's not there. Do your little heart hands when she's not around, and then don't be like, do it to me and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Can you control how creepy you are?
Yeah.
Is
it
that,
makes me
is
feel
that possible?
Icky. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's an ick. It's an ick. Be better. Be better, Greg.
No, the people already wanted us a drop, so we might have to.
Yeah, unfortunately. And we come back, though. I do want to address one thing in regards to... It's not necessarily a Caitlin Clark thing. It's a WNBA-NBA thing. You know me, I hate dishonesty when it comes to my sports arguments. You can agree with me, disagree with me, but let's be intellectually honest. And there is one thing right now that is kind of dominating the conversation with the rise of the women's basketball and Caitlin Clark and the WNBA in regards to their male counterparts that is just one of the silliest arguments
I think I know where you're going
I've
with
ever heard. And I would like to have a honest conversation about that when we come back. Primetime here on The Fan.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Talking a little Caitlin Clark and Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star apparently being as creepy as humanly possible.
I like that you're here.
Oh, God. Don't do that. Just treat women athletes like athletes. You know, it's fine. You know, you don't have to try to make it creepy. You would never say to Steph Curry, I'm glad you're here.
And even if he wasn't trying to make it creepy, what was he trying to do? Be cute? Like,
again... This is the old adage, like women, when they rise up, whether it's in the military or whether it's in corporate America, it's the idea of, well, we got to be careful because if you put a woman into a position with a bunch of men, then it makes everybody uncomfortable, right? No, the problem isn't the woman. The problem is the men. The woman's not the one asking you to treat it any differently, them any differently. The situation. It's just that the men don't know how to act. We collectively can't not be creepy. It's not that hard to view.
There's always one.
It's not that hard to view female athletes as just athletes.
Here we are in 2024.
Well, I'm a fan of equality. Everyone should be a fan of equality. And I love that women in sports, I'm a hashtag girl dad. I got two daughters. They didn't play a ton of sports growing up, but I totally, understand the plight of women in sports, and that for years and years, decades, forever, right? It hasn't gotten its credit. It hasn't gotten its due. Like, it's on the come up. You see the viewership numbers. You see what the women's soccer team has done over the last 25 years. We've seen what women tennis players are doing. I think, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the tennis majors have roughly, if not the same prize money now. I think when you win Wimbledon as a female tennis player, it's either the same or right about the same as the men's. So you're trying to see some growth here. But I also hate dishonest arguments. And the one that I've seen bouncing around over the last 48 hours that drives me freaking crazy. And by the way, they were asking Caitlin Clark about it in the press conference, which again is really awkward. Caitlin Clark's salary next year in the WNBA is $72,000.
Yep.
Again, when you're asking that question as a reporter, you're basically just trying to bait someone.
Sure.
You're trying to pick at a scab. You're trying to poke at something. But the response of, I can't believe Caitlin Clark is going to make $72,000. And oh my God, it's ridiculous. And if you want to say that the WNBA players deserve more money, I'm fine with that. If you want to say that that we need to increase this pay so they don't have to go overseas to make money, I'm fine with that too. You can have that opinion. But the argument that keeps getting thrown out that I see over and over again is the number one pick in this year's NBA draft is going to make about $13 million per year. And that's being held up next to Caitlin Clark's $72,000 and $13 million, right? And now we're being, oh my God, this is the worst thing in the world, and the equality, and how can she make $72,000 when she drives this many eyeballs? And the number one pick in the NBA that I haven't even heard of before, $13 million. And we sit here and we have this debate. And it's not even a debate. We just have this yelling into the atmosphere about how unfair this is. The WNBA last year, do you know what they made? Do you know what their revenue was?
They had
an all-time high, by the way. All-time high.
Oh, I don't know. I'll say
the year before, 2022, they made $60 million. That was the revenue.
I was going to say 100 mil.
60. Last year with the new sponsorship, the new TV deal, they made 200 mil.
Okay.
That was the revenue that they brought in. Would you care to guess what the profit was?
Were they in the black?
Zero.
Yeah.
They've never turned a profit.
And I knew that they hadn't. Or they were in the red for many, many years, and I did not know if
they never turned a profit.
Okay.
Ever. But you see the growth. You see the eyeballs growing. You see the game getting better. And you went from $60 million to $200 million in revenue in a year. That's a massive jump. And you would assume that when the next TV deal comes up, that's going to continue to increase. Now, if you want to listen to the argument that the percentage of salary in the WNBA has gone down about 9% over the last 4 years. So it has been, the salaries aren't growing. That I'll listen to. That'll say that's unfair. That needs to be collectively bargained. They deserve to make a bigger percentage of the pie. But do you know what the NBA made last year? Do you know what their league revenue was?
Oh, boy. Let's say $7
billion. 11.
Okay.
They made $11 billion. $11 billion. One league, $200 million in revenue, and lost money.
And so I wonder at scale if that's about
11,
right.
$11 billion. 11.
So I wonder how $13 million to $72,000 compares to $11 billion versus $200 million.
Just be honest.
Yeah.
Next time someone asks you, next time someone brings up, oh my God, why does the NBA make this for their players and the WNBA makes $72,000. Can we please just hold up $11 billion? I don't want that to be the case. I would love it if Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Diana Taurasi and the rest of the Brittany Griner. I would love it if the league made $11 billion. Awesome. More money for everybody. More sponsorship dollars. Women's sports is great. But you don't get to complain about not making NBA money when your league loses money.
When you can't generate NBA money.
Well, the only reason your league exists in the first place is because the NBA has subsidized it.
And the NBA wanted to.
And by the way, that's a good investment.
It's great.
I'm glad that they've done it. I wish we were getting the WNBA. By the way, it sounds like when the WNBA was talking about expansion, they listed off like 8 cities. You know what wasn't one of them? Portland. So now, because apparently with the renovations to Moda Center, apparently we're not getting a WNBA team anytime soon. I wish we had a WNBA team. I would support it. I would go to games.
I think a lot of people would.
But what I won't do is say that 72,000 to 13 million is some sort of great injustice because of one has a penis and one doesn't. Stop it. That has nothing to do with sexism. That has nothing to do with gender equality or anything like that. It has to do, if the WNBA made $4 billion and you were still paying your players $100,000, sure. Rise up, riot. But that's why you have collective bargaining agreements. So just have some honesty in the arguments. Because you can be a fan of women's sports. And you can be a fan of Caitlin Clark. And you can be a fan of Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner. And Cheryl Swoops and Cheryl Miller and everyone that came behind. And you could want that game to grow. And I'll support it with my dollars. I'll support it with my eyeballs. But just be honest about it. Stop making dishonest arguments to try to achieve a goal. Because the goal should be increased revenue, increased viewership, increase across the board. But you can't do it with dishonest arguments. Because when you do that, to me, you lose the argument. You lose it because it's too easy to point at that and be like, you're just screaming from the mountaintops.
Yeah.
And you're not making any sense. It's like if the NBA were to come right now and be like, well, yeah, our top players are making $60 million. We wanted to make $100 million because we think they're worth $100 million. Well, no, because it's all tied to a percentage of your league revenue. It's the way the NFL works. It's the way almost everything works.
Yeah.
That's why you collectively bargain. You get a percentage of your profits. So just keep that in mind the next time you see someone spouting off about salaries. Yes, it's ridiculously low. And by the way, that should be changing. And it will, because the sport is growing. But it's going to take a while.
It seems like they're on their way.
I remember when Magic Johnson signed the first $1 million contract in the NBA, and it was a huge deal. And it was like, oh my God, it's so much money. And that was in the 80s. Now look at it, right? The game is growing. And as the game grows, the salaries grow.
Guys in that era had summer jobs.
Yes. So we're getting there. It's just going to take a little bit of time. And hopefully, you know, we can all push that forward. But if you want to push it forward, better TV deal, better TV numbers, jersey sales, all that. And it's trending in the right direction. It's a good thing. But be honest about it. We come back. Sean Hyken of the Rose Garden Report. We'll talk a little Portland Trailblazers, the other side of the basketball coin. We come back primetime here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.